How many would say that you are creative packers when it comes to carrying stuff in your car? Anybody here, you got like the gift of, you can get a lot in your vehicle. Before we had kids, we had a little tiny convertible, because really that's about the only time that you can have a little tiny convertible, because once kids come in, it changes the game. But we had a little tiny convertible, and it was amazing how much stuff we could get into that car. We had to pick up some really large boxes and got up to the store, and I didn't realize that they were as big as what they were, and got up there, and these two really large boxes, and the guys went out. He says, "What do you got? You got a truck?" I'm like, "No." He says, "What do you got? A minivan?" "No." "What do you got?" And he comes out and says, "This little tiny convertible," and he just goes, "No, ain't gonna happen." I said, "No, no, 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 no. You do not understand here. This is gonna happen. All right. This is gonna happen." So I said, "We can take the top off. I can roll down the top, and we can just go vertical with these. We don't think we got a lot of space, okay? So we'll just get them in there." So we put these two boxes in there. He is laughing because now my convertible looks like a sailboat, okay? So I'm driving this big, huge boxes up the top. We got seat belts wrapped around them. We got, you know, all those tie things around. And then also the most important thing, you got the arm. You know what I'm talking about? You're just holding everything in place. And I'm driving down. So you got to imagine this. I'm driving down from Minneapolis and driving down the road. And I've got the huge boxes. So it looks like a sailboat. Top is down. Top is down. So you're driving, big box. Top is down. Top is down. That's important because it's the middle of winter. Okay. It's about 10 degrees outside. Top is down. Okay. And I'm driving down. People are looking like, "What kind of idiot is this?" Because I've got my hat on, my gloves, you know, everything. I'm driving, big boxes sticking out. And then to make it even better, it starts to snow. Not like a light snow, like a heavy, heavy snow. And it's piling up on these things. How many know what I'm talking about? You have tried to carry things above and beyond the capacity of your vehicle. And we say it this way. This next slide says this, that something exceeds our capacity, but not the necessity. It's like, I have got to get these boxes home. This isn't an option of leaving them here. I drove all the way to get them here, and I know it doesn't fit. I realize that, okay? I realize it exceeds the capacity, but not the necessity. So some way or another, we have got to get these things home. So driving down the highway, snow, people looking at me, I'm just kind of waving, acting like life is normal. But you know what? I'm not alone. I'm not alone in this. I found some people on the internet who shared this same creativity with me. Anybody ever done this, right? Trusting in the arm, right? Driving down, carrying the mattress. We can get this. Get some buddies. Yeah, yeah. All right, we need some left-handers on the other side. Okay, we're going to hold this baby down. How many have ever carried a mattress home this way? You don't want to admit it, you know, but yeah, got the arm up. Yeah, I've been there. Okay, we carry things on top of the car, all kinds of stuff. How about this? It takes it to another level. Yeah, we can get that. Yeah, I got a Ford Fiesta. Yeah, that's got a towing load of at least a ton there. Just put that baby on top there. Yeah, we're good. We are good to go. How about this one? Carrying the lawnmower home, not a problem. Just give me a board and we are good to go. Just strap that on to people driving down the road. On this, okay, and this one, I love this next one. This is awesome. Yeah, guys, refrigerator. You got a truck? Nah, got a Pontiac. just take the thing. And what's funny is they've got something even on the roof. Yeah, they are ready to go. Again, exceeds the capacity, but not the necessity. And when this happens, we realize that it's bigger than what we can carry. But here's the amazing thing. If you've ever traveled this way, you know what it is you just have to find a way for it to work. Okay? You can't leave it there. You've got to take it with you. You know you've got to deal with this, so you've got to change the way that you normally drive, the way that you normally carry things you're going through. And it's not a permanent solution. It's not like we're going to, you know, keep this thing strapped. It's just until I can reach home, or just until we can get to back from the store. It's just for a little while, and it is stressful. We're driving slow. You got that scared look. Because here's the thing. There is a risk of you losing everything. Hopefully not happened to you, but you've seen, you know, mattresses laying on maybe on the side of the road and somebody running back for it. Okay? It's like we thought we had onto it, but oh, it blew away. There's the risk of losing. There's the risk of damaging. There's the risk of this whole thing just falling apart. So it's nerve-wracking. It's stressful. We're going through this, but we can't leave it. We know we're out of our capacity range, but not the necessity, so we have to make it work. And so we move, and we're just holding it, driving down the road, trying to hold it together. Now here's the thing. Some of you would never drive your car like this or pack your car like this, but this is your life. That you are facing things in your life and going through things in your life that are way beyond your capacity to handle. It's bigger than what you can comfortably take care of. It's more than what you can bear. It's bigger than what fits within your capacity to go through life. But here's the thing. Even though it exceeds your capacity, it doesn't exceed the necessity. You still have to deal with it. You can't just ignore it. You can't just say, it's not a problem. You have to deal with it, but it's bigger than what you're prepared to handle. So we make adjustments. We put stress on other areas. We got to change the way that we go through life and change the way that we think or change the way that we deal things, because we're dealing with something. We've been hit with something that's bigger than our capacity, but not bigger than the necessity. So what do? Some of you are carrying loads that are way bigger. Maybe it's in your personal life. You're dealing with something. Maybe nobody even knows about it, but you're trying to deal with something, and it's just bigger than what you can handle. And every day you get up and you look in the mirror and you're like, how am I going to make it through today? But here's the thing. You can't just ignore it or walk away from it, because you got to deal with it. And so you make adjustments and you put stress on other areas and you try to rig something together just to make it through. And we convince ourselves, you know what? This isn't a permanent thing. Just until I can get through today, or just through this week or this month or this season. Maybe it's a job situation, and it's just more, and you're going through something, and you're like, I don't know how I'm going to keep this together. Maybe it's your marriage, and it's just, I don't know how we're going to do this. I don't know how we're going to make it through. And so we're carrying things that are way beyond our capacity, but yet we still have to deal with it. Maybe it's a financial situation. Maybe it's an emotional situation. You're dealing with things in your life that are bigger than what you can handle. You're dealing with feelings, you're dealing with emotions, you're dealing with things that have come your way that maybe you didn't know that they were that big or asked for that, but all of a sudden it's dropped on you and now you have to deal with it, and it's way beyond your capacity, but you still have to deal with it. And there we are, we're driving through life with this huge load on us, wondering, how are we going to make it? How are we going to make it? And it's stressful, because here's the deal. The risk is still there of losing it all. This could come apart. This could all unravel. And then what are we going to do? We're trying our best just to make it through. And we're trying to be cautious. And we're trying to be wise. And we're trying to make up solutions. And just try to deal with this as it comes. But here's the deal. The risk is that this could come apart at any point. And so we're changing the way that we live. And changing the way that we think. And just trying to make it through day by day. And the stress is there. And the stress is causing situations, problems in other areas. And we're thinking, if we can just get through this time, if we can just get through today, if I can just get through this week, if I can just get through this season, then it's going to be okay. And we recognize it's bigger than what we can handle, but we can't just walk away. So we're moving through life that way. We come, many of you are here like that today. And we're smiling, right? How you doing? Great. How you doing? Fantastic. Meanwhile, you have the refrigerator strapped on the back of your Pontiac there. And here's what's unique about it. Really, there's struggles on two sides. There's the internal struggle. We're just trying to fight to survive. We're just trying to fight to get through this. And it's a fight, and it's a struggle, and we realize it. But on the outside, there's this fight to hide it, because we don't want to let people know that we are completely over our head. We don't want to let people know that maybe we're out of control. And so I wrote it this way. We're fighting to survive that we're fighting to survive. We're fighting to hide what that we're actually trying to survive. And so we'd say, how you doing? I'm doing great. But inside, you're going, liar. You are so out of control. You are so over your head. How you doing? Oh, fantastic. You are so about ready to lose it. You're carrying a load that is so much bigger than your capacity. That any day, any minute, any second, this whole thing could fall apart. And yet we try to put up this front like we're all good. And here's the thing, you're not unique. This has been going on for a long time. Long time. Here, there's this verse in the New Testament that talks about Moses. Look at this. It says, we are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away. Isn't that insightful? We all know what that means. Isn't that great? This has to do with us. What he's talking about is this, is that Moses had this one-to-one talk with God. And when he came down, his face was glowing. I mean, he had been in the presence of God and how incredible that was. But here's the thing. Moses started losing it. He started losing that radiance. He started losing that countenance of someone who had been to God. And Moses didn't want people to know that he wasn't the same. Moses didn't want people to know that his life wasn't as perfect as maybe what it seemed just a little while ago, that there was something that he was losing. And so to hide the fact, he put a veil on. He put a mask on to try to make it seem like all is good and all is well. And nothing's changing here. Everything is good. And there are people here today that you came with a mask on. Came with a veil on. That you're dealing with something and it's huge. You're dealing with something and it's big. You're dealing with something and you're struggling. And yet we try to make it seem like everything is fine. Everything is good. And behind the mask, there's the stress. There's the pressure. There's the anxiety. There's all the truth is we fight to hide that we're trying to survive. And so we come to church and we look for an answer. We come to church and say, we need some help. We come to church and we need a solution. And the good news is that there is a solution. And I am so glad that you are here today because God brought you here for a reason. God knows what's going on in your life. God knows exactly what you're trying to carry, what you're trying to deal with, what you're wrestling with. God knows that fight. God knows that struggle. God knows. Isn't it good to know that God knows? Isn't it good? Turn to somebody and tell them, man, it is so good to know that God knows. It's good to know that God knows. And so we're going to talk about God's solution. But here's the thing. Before we talk about what the solution is, I want to talk about what the solution isn't. Because so many of us have come into a church, and here's what we hear. Just lay your problems down. Just turn your problems over to God. Just come and leave them at the altar. We've heard that. We've tried to do that. But here's the problem with problems is that they're sticky. They're sticky. Wouldn't it be nice? I mean, think about this. If you could just come and all the mess, all the problem, you come to an altar and you say, God, it's your problem now. I'm going to leave it here. And then we just get up and actually leave it. If you could just come down and leave your problem in God's hands and not worry about it and walk away, it probably wasn't your problem really to begin with. But here's what I found, and maybe you've discovered this too, is problems are a lot like kids. You can come and put them in God's hands, but they still follow you home. What are you doing here? I left you in God's hands. Like, you're my dad. It's like that, isn't it? We come to an altar and we say, God, here's the mess. And we go back and we got to go back to the job the next day. God, here's the problem in my marriage. And you just lay it. It's in your hands. I'm giving it to you, God. It's all yours. It's all yours. And you go back and they're still there. You're still married to the same guy, the same girl, the same issue. You go back home. They go with you. The problems that you come and we leave them at the altar. They're yours, God. And put them in your hands. And we go home. And guess what? They go home with us. So again, we come and we hear, just put him in God's hands. Leave him in God's hands. Let me just ask you, how's that been going for you? How's that been working for you? Really? Really? And I know there's a pushback. I know that someone's like, I don't know about this. Because I got some verses. I got some verses. I mean, the Bible says, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition and thanksgiving, present your request to God. God, here's my problem. It's yours. I got a verse. Got a verse. I mean, even Jesus said, come to me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus said that. He said that. Just drop it off there. I mean, we can go back to the Old Testament, 23rd Psalm, man, even though I walk through the darkest valley, you're with me. It's God's there. He's going to be with you. It's your problem. Just turn him over to God. And here's the thing. You're so close. You're so close. You just stop too early. Because here's the solution. I'm just going to give it to you right up front here. Here's the thing. That God isn't pursuing your problems. God is pursuing you. That your peace in life doesn't depend upon your circumstances changing. It depends upon your heart changing. And really, here's the solution. We're going to dive into this, but it's just this. Is this, that peace isn't found in turning your problems over to God. Peace is found when we turn ourselves over to God. See, there's something in us that we just want to come and drop it off. Here you go. Here's my problem, God. Here's my situation. Take care of it. And I'm going to go back to my life, and you let me know when it's taken care of. And if you don't fix it, God, then I'll blame you, and I'll point fingers at you, and I'll doubt you, because I did the drive-through, God. I dropped it off. But see, God's not after just fixing your problems. God's pursuing you, and he has a solution, and it works every time. But it's not about you just turning your problems over to God. It's when we turn ourselves over to God. Let's look at these verses, and we're going to find this is in alignment with what God said. In Philippians 4, says this, and we know this passage. This is something we quote. You may use this as a key verse in your life, and when you're going through things, do not be anxious about anything. Turn to somebody, tell them, stop worrying. Stop worrying. Now, here's the thing. If it was just a matter of letting go, that should work. How many feel better now that somebody told you to stop worrying? It's like, oh, I didn't know that's all I had to do. Oh, my goodness. No, it's more than that. Okay? Do not be anxious about anything. He's going to tell us how this works. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, and here's the deal, that we're talking to God, we're asking God for direction, we're asking God for his will, and with thanksgiving mean that we know that God is able, we know that God is able to answer, we're already thanking him. Present your requests to God. Lord, here's my problem, here's my situation, here's what is way above my capacity to handle, here's what above and beyond what you know I can handle. Look at this, next verse. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. You know what that means? That peace when it doesn't make sense. See, we miss this part. We are asking God for peace that makes sense. God, when you fix it, then I'll have peace. It's like, oh, wait a second. It's bigger than that. It's bigger than that. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Hold right here, because I don't want to go to this next verse yet. Again, we use this, and we use this to justify, hey, I'm just coming, and I'm bringing my request, and I'm giving it to God. I'm bringing my problem, and I'm giving it to God. I'm bringing my situation, and I'm giving it to God. God, here it is. It's in your hands. And then we walk away, and we've missed it. Because we go one verse further, and look at what he wraps up, and this is what he says. Oh, this is so good. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me, this is Paul. He says, all the things I've been teaching you about how to live for God, how to keep a life that God wants, all of the things, put it into practice. Do what it says, and the God of peace will be with you. You mean I can't just come and dump my problems off to God and then walk away? No. It's more than that. You mean I have to change my course? You mean I have to actually live this out and do what God says and live a life that pleases God? Yeah. God's not after your problems. God's after you. God wants to do something in you. He's saying, look, come to me. Ask me. But here's the deal. Put it into practice. The way that Jesus said it in Matthew is this. Look at this next passage. He says, come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Man, what a beautiful verse. What a beautiful verse. Jesus is saying, look, you got problems. You got situations. There's a solution. There's a solution. But it's not about you just dropping it off and walking away. Look at what Jesus says in the next verse. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest. Look at what he's talking about. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Wait a second, Jesus. I thought we were talking about freedom here. I thought we were talking about you answer me. And you're talking about a burden? You're talking about a yoke? Now, what a yoke is, and again, I am not a farmer, so correct me if I'm wrong. Some of you know exactly what this is. But a yoke takes the animal, and it's like a steering wheel for the animal. Okay, it connects them together, and it allows the farmer to direct and to guide those things that are in the yoke. And what Jesus is saying this, you got problems, you got situations, you got things that you need me to answer, then here is where the solution is found, not in just dropping it off and walking away. It's in saying, okay, God, steer my life. Okay, God, guide my life. I will live according to your plan. And if I am living according to your plan, if I'm giving you me, then guess what? All of those problems, all of those situations are in your hands. And this is where we find that our burdens are lifted. This is where we find that we find peace. It's when we are allowing God to guide our life and saying, God, it's your way, not my way. I'm going to live according to how you steer my life. Here's my heart. Here's my life. It's not just, God, here's my problem. Take care of it. God, here's my situation. I need you to fix it. It's more than that. That our solution isn't found in giving our problems to God. Our solution is found in giving our hearts to God. David writes this in Psalms. He says this, 23rd. Psalm, he says, for even though I walk through the darkest valley or the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you are with me. And then look at what he says. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. That's like a kid coming to say, Dad, when you ground me, oh, I find comfort in that. Because you know what the rod and the staff mean? It's God's direction and his correction. And what David is saying is this, is that when I am living my life according to his direction and in alignment with his correction, I don't need to fear, I don't need to worry, because my life is in his hands. My life is in his hands. You see, we're all about turning our problems over to God because that's easy. But it just doesn't work. You can come to an altar and list every single problem that you have and say, God, I give it to you. Here it is. Fix it. It's in your hand. And get up and walk away. And guess what? You're going to go back to the same mess. You're going to have the same struggles, same problems, same situations. But there is something powerful when we come and say, God, here's me, and I'm putting myself into your hands. Here's my heart. Here's my way. Here's my future. Here's my will. I relinquish all of that, and I give myself completely to you. Here I am, God. Here's me. Something changes in us, that we begin to understand what he's talking about, that a peace that passes understanding. Because when we come to a place where we give ourselves completely to God, it changes us because God says, that's what I've been after. That's what is precious to me. That is what is dear to me. And he changes our perspective and we begin to see things differently. We begin to experience life differently. And we go back to the same problem, but it's different. We go back to the same situation, but it's different. Why? Because I'm in God's hands. I'm in God's presence, walking his way, his guidance, his direction. And that's what changes everything. That's why he says, peace that passes understanding. You don't understand it, but it's okay. He says, even though you're going to walk through some dark valleys, when you're walking according to my plan, you don't even worry about it. Here's what we see in Scripture again and again and again, that God is a God that takes us through things far more often than he takes us around things. But let's look at how we pray. We pray for God to take us around things a whole lot more often than we pray and trust him to take us through things. Because when I ask him to take around it, that's an easy path for me. But when I have to go through it, I need something more than just me. And some of you, you're dealing with things. Some of you are up against some things. And you've given them to God, but you're still trying to carry. But let me ask this. Where's your heart? Where's your life? Are you living God's way? Are you putting into practice what he wants for your life? Are you giving God your problems, or are you giving God what he is really after? It's you. It's you. And that's what makes the difference. All of these promises. And again, take the verses that you know. Study them out. Look deeper. You'll see in every single one. As you begin to read and study, it's not about God just taking his magic wand and bing, there's your problem. It's fixed. It's about God saying, hey, give me your life. Give me your heart. Trust me. And watch what happens. Watch what happens. So what do we do? How do we put this into practice? Let's be real, real clear about this, right? Here we go. First thing is this. You need to stop praying for God to change your situation. And start praying for God to change your heart. God knows your problem. You've already asked him. God knows. The Bible says that God knows before you even ask. But we're asking for God to change the problem. Not us. Stop asking God to fix your problem. Ask God to change your heart. That's a different prayer. That's a much harder prayer. Because when we say, God, here's the problem I need you to fix, it's like we know better. We know better. And you see this, and I'm older now. I'm over 50. I can say things like this now. I've been around long enough, you know, where I've seen situations and change. How many in your life where you've seen something that at first glance you thought was a problem and maybe you prayed for God to take it away or remove it, and then later on in life you realize that that was one of the best things that's ever happened and you're saying, thank you, God, that you didn't answer my prayer. Thank you, God, that you didn't answer my prayer. You know, thank you, God, that, you know, they didn't call me back or I didn't get that job or all these things. And we wonder, I mean, we've seen it. We've seen it. So who are we to say, God, here's what I want you to fix? But if we would just begin to understand this, say, God, here's my heart. Here's my life. Here's my way. I know that you know the best way, but God, I want to do it your way. Your way. Second thing is this, again, real, real easy. Stop putting your problems into God's hands. Start putting yourself there. I mean, when we think about that, that whole idea, that whole mentality is right. We come and say, put him into God's hands. And we take the problem, here's my situation, God, here's there. What if we change the visualization of that and we say, okay, God, what I'm going to put is me. What does that look like in your life if you were to put yourself into God's hands? What would that look like into your situation, into your choices, into your behaviors, into your the way that you do life, the way that you prioritize things, the way that you allocate your time, the way that you where you go and what you do, what you say? What would it look like in your life if you were to put yourself into God's hands and said, God, I'm yours. I'm all in. Here's everything. See, the truth is where there's a struggle, it's this. We trust God with our problems. We don't trust God with our life. We trust God to fix our messes. But do we really trust God to guide our lives? And that's where the struggle is. That's where the conflict is. And until we understand it, we are just going to be more and more frustrated because we can come and leave our problems here and walk away and wonder, why isn't God doing what he promised, when all the while God is saying, I'm wanting to do such a miracle in your life. Trust me. Trust me. Where in your life are you saying no to God? Where in your life is there hesitancy? He's like, I don't know if I want to do that. I don't know if I want to step there. God, I trust you for this, but am I ready to go all in? There is a God that loves you. There is a God that cares about you so much, so much. And how do we do that? How do we do that? It's real simple. Real simple. Ready? Just do this. Start doing what pleases God. Turn to somebody, preach that to them. Just tell them, say, start doing what pleases God. It's really just that simple. It's not complex. It's not some deep theology. It's simply do what you know pleases God. So when you wake up tomorrow, okay, God, what would make you happy? What would make you happy? See, what we fail to realize is that our relationship with God is a relationship. It is the same way that, is Eric up here? Eric's not up here. Go and ask Eric what's going on in September 22nd of this year when you see him. Just see him, tap him, just ask, hey, I heard something's going on. But Eric had a status change in Facebook, which is exciting. It's just, but we were teasing him here. It's like, hey, you love this girl loves you. How did that happen? Did you go and say, man, you know what? I've got all this laundry at my house, and I've got food that needs cooked, and I've got all these issues that need resolving, and you're the right one. Wouldn't that just woo your heart? Aw, I just feel so loved. Man, I got a checklist that I can't complete. This is what I'm looking for. I'm looking for somebody that checks all the boxes. No! No. In any relationship, what happens? You do things that makes the other person happy. Right? It's called love. Some of you need to remember that. Re-put that into your marriage again. It's a necessity. We do things. Why? Because we love them. Same way in our relationship with God. We come to God so often with a list. Here it is. I want you to do this, 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 and this. Like, well, wait a second. What are we missing? What if we actually change that and just said, okay, God, what makes you happy? That's what I want to do. What would make God happy? What would make God happy how you would respond to this message? What would make God happy how you prioritize your week? What would make God happy when it comes to, like, I'm going to put God first, or am I going to put my time first? Am I going to put what I want first or what God wants first? Here's what would happen. When we begin to live a life that's pleasing to God, all of these incredible promises that God is talking about, all of these things about peace and direction and hope, God says, watch what I do with a life that is committed to me. Don't just drive through and drop your problems off to me and drive away. I want you. And when I have you, I take care of everything that you bring. And that is how God works. Proverbs summarizes like this, and again, this is a verse we know, but this is so true. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and don't depend upon your own understanding, meaning, like, this may not make sense. Well, I've just learned to come and just drop my problems off. Say, hey, hang on, you got to go beyond that. But what's it say? Seek his will. Okay? Trust the Lord with all your heart, not on your understanding. Okay? Which means this. In everything we do, God, I'm going to acknowledge you. In everything I do, I'm going to do it your way. In every area of my life, your way. And what's God's promise? And he will show you which path to take. Okay, God, I'm going to acknowledge you in every area. And when I have those things that are bigger than what I can handle, but I still got to handle them, I know that your promise is there to guide, to direct, to give me peace, to give me strength, to give all those things that I do not have. But it doesn't come with me just asking you to fix my problem. It changes when I come and I give you me. So simple, but yet so different than how we've been going after God's help. One last verse, and I'm wrapping up. Back to Moses' verse. Look at what happens. I love this. This is what he's talking about to us. Moses put the veil on. You don't have to wear the veil anymore because here's what happens. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, here I am, God, it's all me. The veil is taken away. You don't need to have the mask anymore. You don't need to hide behind it anymore because something powerful is happening. And look at what it happens. When we come to him, not just drop your problems off, not just ask God to fix it, but when we turn to God, we're coming to him. Here's all of me, God. Here I am. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty or freedom, depending on what translation you're reading, but it means the same thing, that all of your mess and all of your problem, there is a lifting of that. When we what? Turn to the Lord, we don't need to hide anymore. We find what we are looking for. And he goes on, he says this, he says, and we all know with unveiled faces, we contemplate the Lord's glory. We're being transformed into his image with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, which again, he just says again, which is the Spirit. And again, he's just talking about God's unity here as well. But here's what he's saying. He says, when we turn our life over to God, we don't have to hide anymore because God begins to change us and we start reflecting his power, his glory, his peace, all of the things that we've been after, not by just saying, fix it and I'm walking away, but when we dive in and say, God, here I am. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. You've given your heart to God and you've been through some things where people look at you and say, how are you so peaceful in the midst of this? What is going on in your life as a result of this? There's something different about you. And it's not, well, I just asked God to fix my problem. It's I've given my heart and my life to God and I'm living his way. His way. I had a lady that I worked with, and we were going through a situation at work, and it was not a good situation, very stressful. People were potentially losing jobs, and just it was just a mess. And we were in a meeting, and she got done, and she came up to me. She said, why aren't you freaking out? And I'm like, Should I be? Did I miss something? It's like, do you realize what's at stake here? I'm like, yeah, absolutely. But you're not all stressed out. You're the only one not sweating. You're the only one, you're still smiling and we're all going crazy. What is different? What's different? It was just a beautiful opportunity for me to share the reason for the difference. It says, look, I know that God has it all in his hands because I'm in God's hands. And when I put my life completely into God's hands and I live his way and I live according to his plan, then he takes care of everything and I don't need to stress or worry about it. Yeah, I'm going through it. I'm living with it. But here's the thing. I know that there's another side to this because as long as I stay in his hand, that all of the things that I am going through are in his hand as well. And it was a beautiful opportunity. She said, I want to know more about that. Where in your life is God trying to do a miracle? But you've not allowed him access to the thing that he's actually trying to reach. You see, when God changes your heart, he takes more than just the problems you're dealing with. He changes everything. It is the best life, period. We say it's the best life now and forever. Isn't it about time that you joined your problems at the altar? You've been leaving them and walking away. Isn't it about time that you put yourself into God's hand and trusted him again and watch what he can do. Can we stand?